It is GloucesterCast 251, and we are here with Jamie O'Hara, running for City Council at Large. And how many people are running for at large for four spaces?
That's correct.
Is there seven for four?
Total of seven.
Total of
myself.
Seven for four. You're an incumbent.
I am.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us why you're running.
Certainly. Well, I'm 56 years old. I'm a lifelong Gloucester resident. Grew up here, went through the Gloucester public school system, graduated, went on to Wentworth Institute in Boston, have a bachelor's degree in building construction engineering. Love our city, and I got involved in politics, I think, young, in comparison to some of our Gloucester residents who got involved much younger, but involved in city politics, got involved in state politics in 2007, dealing with an issue of, as a college student at Wentworth, I worked a co-op at the Salem Power Plant, which employed 500 odd people, many of whom were Gloucester residents. Great jobs, great benefits. In 2007, Governor Mitt Romney, after taking office in January, showed up at the gates of Salem Harbor Power Plant and made a stand. He brought his entourage, media, made a stand that he was going to shut down the plant. This plant, which generated 20.7% of the city of Salem's tax base, and again, 500 great paying jobs with great benefits, he was going to shut it down. At that point, I had worked there as a co-op student in the 1980s. I contacted the plant manager, who I knew from continuing my working experience and working in the professional position in construction. Also contacted the city of Salem's mayor, who I did not know at that point was a gentleman, Stan Yusevich. I told him that they needed to would want to consider a citizens action group. Probably within a half hour of me leaving a message with both gentlemen, they contacted me. Met with both of them, and we started a group called Salem Harbor Alliance for Reliable Energy, or SHARE. And we formed that in 2007, was still in existence, and we educated people on the value of safe, reliable energy. We took on the issue at the state level. Governor Mitt Romney backed off on that.
Saved a bunch of jobs?
It was identified in his first 100 days of office as being an issue that he probably should not have gone down that road.
Wow.
The plant continued operations for 10 years, at which they shut it down, and they're building a new plant today. So the city of Salem will continue gaining that revenue. Modernization has reduced the workforce, but it's a power plant that will feed power to the entire North Shore and provide valued taxes to the city of Salem. So at that point, I learned what it was to take on issues. 10 years ago, in the city of Gloucester, we had a mayor who felt, for one reason or another, that fire safety could be reduced, and typically it was reduced to one fire station open. We have four. We had five at one time. One that has been permanently shut down, and the building's been sold, and that was in East Gloucester on Mount Pleasant Ave. So 10 years ago, we had one fire station. Not only were people's homes burning, which I saw one burn in front of me like an inferno with a closed fire station just a minute away. But not only were people's homes burning, but unfortunately people were dying because of the lack of emergency services, and they just could not get to the victims in time. I took that on. We met with the mayor. We fought with the mayor. We put on public safety days around the city to educate the public on how to be more safe during a time of limited fire protection, emergency services. And we were successful in getting the stations open. but only after Bridget Clary. She actually died in October on a Sunday night. Her station in Bayview was open that day until noontime. They shut it down at noontime. When her home caught on fire, instead of a 3-minute response, it was a 15-minute response. 2 days later, all four stations were open permanently for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we had told the mayor at that time he was playing Russian roulette. It wasn't a matter of if, just a matter of when. And it happened. Bridget Clary paid the price.
You weren't a firefighter.
No, I have no ties to
the... You weren't involved in the firefighters union?
Nothing. I have no ties.
Just public safety.
No ties to the police or fire. I just feel that emergency services should be the highest priority of our city. In fact, I'll give you an example. Just about 10 days ago, my mother, who's 88 years old, I live in East Gloucester, I check in on her. She lives in Magnolia, where I grew up. I checked in on her. It was about 10 or 5 in the morning. She was having chest pains, 88 years old. My sister, who lives next door, is a registered nurse. She was taking her vital signs, chest pains. We called 911. In 2.5 minutes, just 150 seconds, she had a paramedic standing beside her on the second floor of her home on Lexington Ave, administering a nitroglycerin and aspirin to ease the pain. She received treatment just 2.5 minutes after that call to 911. And again, I think that should be the highest priority. You know, there are other issues in our city that we need to deal with. Obviously, we had the 18-day boil water order where state came in and shut down the water system for drinking. So we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars annually to rebuild our water delivery system. Our schools need a tremendous amount of work. There isn't a single asset in our city which is in great shape. We need a lot of work. It all costs money, but yet we can't continue to raise our water and sewer rates and our taxes. We have to learn to be more economical, obviously pursue federal funds which were available decades ago, which past administrations said no to, the federal government. So we're paying that price of neglect of past administrations today in 2017. So they're just, and as far as the people of Gloucester deserve to have a voice at City Hall, in knocking on doors, they all have issues. They're typically related to their street, their neighborhood, or it could be the entire city. They feel as though they don't want to speak up in fear of retaliation. They need a voice. And I feel that I've been that voice for them prior to becoming elected 2 years ago. And I'll be their voice should I be elected November 7th.
You clearly have a passion for it. I mean, I don't think anyone... You know, I kind of feel like you can't really do this job without kind of having a passion for it, because it is so intense. Mm-hmm. The hours that you have to put in and the meetings that you have to attend.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing it the right way, it's beyond anything. My scope of, I can't believe these people that actually take the job seriously. Mm-hmm. Like it is a it's a very honorable thing, I think, to serve on the city council if you're doing the job the way that it's intended to be done. But, you know, and with 7 people running for 4 spots, it probably is going to vet out the right people for the jobs.
Mm-hmm. The people deserve to have the best representation. Our students of our city deserve to have the best education, the finest of education. We're losing $2 million annually to parents sending their students to to Rockport, to Manchester, to schools outside of Gloucester. When, as I've told people, when he or she crosses Newell Stadium to receive their diploma, they need to have the tools, learn the A, B's, and C's to set the world on fire. Because if they haven't, they are in trouble, more than likely for the rest of their life. Mm. And we know that every student knows what it takes, but we know that they really don't. So we owe it to every child and every parent or guardian of that child to provide the finest education possible.
I think we spoke about this off air before we started taping, but the KPAN Chamber, not the KPAN Chamber, the KPAN TV has videotaped the debates. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to post them on Good Morning Gloucester. Thankfully, they post them to YouTube, so I can grab those. Your hair looks nice, Kim. Did you just have your hair done?
No.
Kim Smith just walked in.
No.
Nice to see you.
Early taping time.
I'm sorry for taping it. I'm going to post the videos. I think it's very important for people to take the time and listen to these debates, because you may think you know what each candidate is about, but when you hear the questions asked and you can detect what each candidate, you can make much better informed decisions after listening to these debates rather than just listening to the popularity contest around town of just who you may think you are interested. Did you have something to say?
Yeah, I went to the debate on Wednesday night. Yeah, at the Gloucester stage, the one with the city councilors,
yes.
Not the big walkout one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just was very impressed with your answers. I think
you
did a tremendous job. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
I was too.
Yeah,
I really didn't. I have to confess, I don't give endorsements on here or anything like that. I didn't know a lot about you before.
Me neither.
Right.
Because you're like over in Magnolia. I mean,
I grew up in Magnolia.
You grew up in Magnolia.
Yes. Yeah, but you consider him a Magnolia guy.
Right.
Yeah, I really didn't know much about him, but like he impressed me a lot with his answers.
Yeah.
Anyway, but and then you may see some things from some counselors that you just shake your head.
Oh yeah.
And we're not going to mention any names,
right. Okay.
But you just shake your head and you just say, "Oh my God, that can't happen." So please, everybody, listen to. I'm gonna when I post the videos from KPAN TV. Kudos to them for taping them and making them available for us. That if you can't get to these debates, please listen to them for the sake of our city. So Jamie, what are some of the? I say this every time. What are some of the low hanging fruit of things that you would like to see happen if you're reelected?
Certainly. Obviously, the emergency services, can't speak enough about that. We need to continue to maintain the fire stations, all four being open. The police protection is huge in our city. We typically only have four patrolmen per shift, obviously 3 8-hour shifts. Typically only have four policemen covering we're the third largest landmass community city in our state or commonwealth. But yet we only have four patrolmen. On a domestic dispute, unfortunately, being a city of 30,000, we have our share of domestics. Two patrolmen, at a minimum, are turning out to that domestic. Sometimes, depending on the issue at hand, it requires more, leaving the city exposed. Obviously, we all know the city has a drug issue. The entire country has a drug issue. The police have to deal with that on a daily basis, as well as the fire department. There are people overdosing. It's no hidden secret. You know, let's talk about the elephant in the room, and they are called out. So yet the people who knocking on doors, they have speeders on their streets. They have issues that they are passionate about, and they can't receive the attention. I explain to them in knocking on doors, as I mentioned off air, that I've probably knocked on more doors than anyone, that you hear their issues, and they deserve to have that service. So we have to be cognizant that our police department is extremely important. The education is huge, but we have to look at tourism. The visitors that come into Gloucester bring millions of dollars annually. We have to make sure when they come in their pockets are loaded, and when they leave that they're happy. And they don't have a single penny. We want them to enjoy themselves and spend every dollar right here in our city.
That's a good model.
I can't like, you know what I mean? I try to be fair and balanced here and not expose any other counselors. But it's refreshing to hear that, because it seems like some people are afraid to say that, as if it's like a dirty word, like tourism is a dirty word. There's been a big change over time, so that hasn't been the case like it used as to the degree it used to be. But during the debates, you'll also hear who, you know, embraces change and business, and who necessarily isn't So, you know, treats business as if, or business people as if they're criminals.
Yeah.
So hold on one second. I'll be right back. So, as everybody knows, like, we have a bunch of schools. The West Parish School is unbelievable. There's a bunch of other schools that are
in trouble.
I went to East Gloucester School 40 something years ago, and I walked through there for the first time a month ago. It has not changed one bit. And so you compare that school, and I think a lot of the other schools it's just like that compared to West Parish. Yes. And I don't know how the parents are like not flipping out, right? But anyway, having said that, so we know that there is a need, and there's needs all over for budgetary. How would now? So there's budgets, there's needs for things to get repaired and stuff, or fixed or new. How do you propose to pay for these big, you know, financial needs going forward?
Well, first of all, as I already mentioned, we're losing $2 million a year annually to students going outside of Gloucester.
Choicing out,
correct. Yeah. So obviously, yeah. if we could keep that $2 million and then add to it and become the schools of destination from Rockport, Manchester, obviously consolidation is, some people just don't want to talk about consolidation. We have Plum Cove, Beeman, Veterans, East Gloucester, and West Parish even, that are, you know, we have duplicate positions, principals, nurses, redundancy in every school that we need, that are costly. We need to consolidate. It's just a part of the evolution, and our tax dollars need to be utilized more. I think we can do it. We can do it and still maintain a high education for our students. Obviously, in the younger years, they're vulnerable. We need to care for them and nurture them to provide that education. We also need to the evolution of how parents and guardians convey their students to schools. They drive them. And you go to West Parish School when kids are entering or exiting, and it's actually extremely dangerous on Concord Street.
A lot of cars lined up, yeah.
Yeah, they're lined up, and we're in the warm weather. What's going to happen when we get a, you know, dusting of snow?
How come they're not using the buses?
It's just the evolution.
That's the way it is nowadays. Like more like parents don't. When we were kids, first grade, we walked in the slow snow or the rain, right, and we sat and waited for the bus. In the rain, right. It was snowing up, and you just sat there with your mittens and your rain jacket or whatever, and you got on the bus went to school.
Right.
Kids today, there's a handful of them, but way less of a percentage take buses than they do now.
Well, some of it is, I think, that the students today have a lot more planned activities after school. They got to rush off to a dance lesson or to a, those kids that are that age, and they don't have time. The parents don't have time for the bus to get home to get them to the...
Yeah, this is going to the bus, though, too. It's a whole different world. You know, I think maybe a little bit has to do with, you know, like nowadays, there's like the predators and stuff like this. Parents are just more on top of the kids than they used to be. We remember when we were kids and we would go outside, we'd get home from school, do your homework or whatever, and you're out until dark. The kids don't even go outside and play anymore.
Well, rarely.
Like they used to.
I know, and I think part of the problem is so much homework. I mean, even little kids have a lot of homework.
Yeah.
But, you know, if my son didn't run to school every morning, I think he would have been diagnosed with ADD. I mean, kids need that kind of, like... That's one reason why I love, like, East Gloucester, because it is such a neighborhood school. So how would you... I mean, like, I think it would be fantastic to build on the existing site of East Gloucester instead of creating another empty school building and building on conservation land. So is there any way that East Gloucester could be, I don't know, then veterans parents might want to have a neighborhood school, but could East Gloucester and veterans be combined on the existing East Gloucester site?
Well, that's a good question.
Yes, and the school committee.
The school committee definitely controls it. Yeah. But that is an option. I think, obviously, you know, the elephant in the room, the pines, is an area on Mount Pleasant that they've talked about. And I can honestly tell you, I don't believe that will ever happen. There's just too much public opposition.
That's reassuring
it's
to
not
me.
I don't think it's going to happen either, because for the same reason.
Right, it's a beautiful area, and East Gloucester has of any area in the city, East Gloucester has the least amount of conservation land of anywhere. I mean, except for probably Ward 2, right? So, but we have the least amount of conservation land, so why would they...
So, what was interesting to me in the debate, in the Magnolia one that I've watched, was... you spoke about the harbor, and you spoke about the need for. Maybe it's because you have a business person yourself, mm-hmm. so you understand nuts and bolts, like that there has to be returns.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just operate in fantasy land. But you said you were talking about how the industrial waterfront is important, but these properties the industry has been so consolidated that there is an overabundance of mm-hmm. underutilized waterfront,
mm-hmm.
and you had spoken about and you giving some alternative uses for these waterfront properties, which was refreshing, because a lot of the other ones just I think are saying what they think people want to hear. But I don't think that people when the Beauport Hotel poll went out, and overwhelmingly people, even former Mayor Bell spoke and wrote in, that he thought that should happen on that piece of property. And it was, I think it was something like 4-1 or higher.
Higher, right.
Pro having that project, the overlay and the project happen. The way that the question was asked was, do you want the fort to be rezoned? And I think that...
I thought that was a weird question.
And it was a little ambiguous, because they weren't... He kind of said the harbor, but more specifically the fort. So I think some of the counselors were in between answering what they thought was for the fort, but not necessarily the whole harbor. In any case, I thought that you were spot on. That our marine heritage is very important to everybody. At the same time, there needs to be alternative uses that are financially that supportive, so that you could still have these piers maintained.
What were some of the solutions?
For me to say what the solution is, it would be ridiculous. But we have an asset, Deepwater Port, that. Manchester, Beverly, Salem has a deep water access at the power plant. But from the standpoint of people who are conveying goods and services all over the world, Gloucester is less time to enter a deep water port. Mm-hmm. So, finding that resource that they're out there and bringing them into Gloucester, our mayor's office has done a tremendous job. As far as economic development, we need to find that resource and abuse our waterfront, our harbor. It brings tax revenue in. It'll right. bring jobs into our city.
New schools.
Everything can, fishing. Yeah. Hopefully someday, things will change and we will still have this asset here.
Right.
We have to look at preserving the waterfront because once we put a home actually right on the water, that home's not disappearing, but we can potentially have mixed use, and do it with charm and color. This isn't my city. This isn't your city. It's our city, and people have to chime in. I beg for people. We typically govern in front of no one. You go to city council meetings.
Joe Orlando said that was one of the most interesting things he said when he was in for this was that there could be a meeting about. Dogs on the beach, and we'll have a packed house, And then there's some like really important, like the budgetary
like
thing
the
or
budget.
Something. And it's crickets.
Yeah.
And he says it's amazing what people tune in for and are really, you know, and,
right.
and some huge impact things that nobody's there at all.
You know, I wonder why that is, because like one time I went to a city hall meeting and it was so critical. It was about designating some CPA funds to turn Good Harbor, you know, where the condos are at Good Harbor Beach, to kind of turn that into a visitor center and stuff like that. And there was nobody at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was so critically important. And I was just like, wow. And then a lot of the counselors said, well, it doesn't affect us because we didn't get any letters about it in
mm-hmm.
our inbox. So, you know, we're going to vote against it.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? I was just like, really?
Yeah.
I think partly it was people wanted to put it forward, did not publicize it enough. But on the other hand, it was just so interesting to me that there was like no one there to vote.
Yeah, well, that was the point, was like, you know, you know, there's just certain hot button issues that everybody talks about.
Well, and unfortunately, and again, knocking on doors, I can't speak highly enough about what you learn. When I go to their door, they're not coming to my door, if you
right.
will, City Hall.
Right, City Hall.
I'm going to their door, their home,
yeah.
and talking to them on their turf. They open up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times why they don't get involved, they had a bad experience. They went to a city council meeting. And they were treated unprofessionally.
Yeah, ridiculed. Or
yeah,
even the
yeah.
outside of the doors there, you know, people can get very heated at those
yeah.
things.
I mean, they a lot of people don't have the stamina, the wherewithal to take a stand at the podium. And actually what I do, my seat at the council table is directly in front of the podium. I tell them, you know, please come, because I ask them to show up if they have an issue, to show up, whether it's on the council agenda or to come and speak at oral communications, which happens at the beginning at 7 p.m. promptly, to come and voice your concern. I as Jamie O'Hara, one of their representatives, will convey that to the city, to the council. But to have the support of the actual
person or
people in the neighborhood makes all the difference in the world. So what I do is I tell them or explain to them, you come to the podium, my seat is directly in front of the podium, you have a conversation with me, you look at me, don't worry about anyone else in the room,
very good.
And try to take the fear factor
right.
away.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone, they're passionate about their issue. It can, you name it, I've heard it. And it's real. It's a real point that the constituents have, whether so small or Colburn Street over in Lanesville. It was an issue that just came up. A gentleman wanted to put a two-family, and the neighborhood was very passionate that they did not want to see the building as large as they were proposing. And they talked, they wrote letters, but...
Was this the house on stilts?
It was,
oh,
right,
okay.
Right,
yeah,
right,
that
right.
That's an interesting debate, isn't it?
Well, it's something that we as a city are going to have to address, because the federal government's mandating that more, and it's probably going to be even more with what happened in Puerto Rico and Houston, in Florida, that they, you know, the insurance companies don't want the exposure, and the government doesn't want the exposure of having people wiped out, that houses are going to be elevated. They did it in Milford, Connecticut. I'm in construction. I bid on a job in Milford where they raised an entire neighborhood up 6 feet. At that point, that was probably about 20 years ago.
Oh, that's so,
but the whole neighborhood was jacked up 6 feet. So it's coming. And, you know, we can talk about a global warming, whether it's a natural phenomenon or man-made, but it's real. And Joey can speak to it. You know, we have high tides on a regular basis that are just...
Yeah.
High, and you know, we're going to have issues. The state's going to have issues. I believe I'm in construction. State's going to, and they're probably already talking about it at the Cut or Blinman Bridge. I mean, the salt water's getting into the mechanism of the bridge. They're going to have to do something, and this is going to evolve all over Cape Ann. So.
There you go. Anything you want to add in closing?
No, I just ask people to consider me for one of their four votes on November 7th. a voice of the people, and I'll continue to represent them like no one else would.
Thank you very much
for coming. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Listen to this. Also, listen. I'm going to post and I'm going to sticky all the videos from KPN TV at the top of the blog for the next 2 days because the election's
Tuesday.
As soon as this is over, I'm going to put those videos on the top of the blog. I'm going to make them sticky so that everybody, it doesn't get bounced down. Because I think it's very, very important. If you do anything over the next 2 days, besides number one vote, listen to the candidates.
Sure.
Thanks again.
You're very welcome. Can I add one thing?
Absolutely.
On voting day, on November 7th, Tuesday, the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. In the at-large, there are seven candidates, including myself. Registered voters can vote for one or up to four candidates. You don't have to vote for four. You can vote for whomever you'd like. So that's something that people are a little not confused about, but they really didn't know. They'll obviously be able to vote for the mayor and the ward councilor's position.
Well, can I just ask a quick question?
Yes.
Because I am confused about something. So say you only like three councilors. I mean,
yes.
Just say you're a person and you
that's
only
correct.
Like three councilors.
Yes.
Is it better to just then randomly pick the fourth one or just not vote at all for the fourth one?
To answer your question, I would vote for the people and only the people you are confident with can
about.
Do the job.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Because that gives more to...
That's your vote is more
voting
powerful.
Is.
Oh, okay.
For those candidates that you believe strongly
okay.
in.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. GloucesterCast 251 with Jamie O'Hara. Oh, I want to add this in. Any other counselors, there's one more day.
You have to
reach out to me if you're running for council at large. We're not playing favorites. We're not saying you can't come on. You have to get a hold of me, though. That's all. Thanks again.
Hi, Joey. Thank you.